Blog Talk Radio.
Five Lincoln 103 and 102.
Responding 2401 parking structure, section 1 boy.
Henry 8, Henry 9. Respond to gate 437 Bravo for your dignitary detail. 3K911, I'm attended 400 lower level near Carousel 4, black bag. GTA in progress, 401 parking structure, section 4 boy.
Responding to 401 parking structure, section 1 boy.
415 passenger onboard aircraft.
Control 2 Franklin and Rob.
484 suspect, female, Hispanic, 28 years of age. Blue G, no further.
Control, High Frank, 401 is a route.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome to this edition of the Private Officer Beat. Private Officer Beat Radio, brought to you today by Private Officer International, a security and law enforcement association based in Charlotte, North Carolina, but we are international with members in more than 30 countries. If you are not already a member, definitely go to our website today at privateofficer.com and join. We have so many benefits, services for members, and just a lot of great stuff happening. Well, I'm your host, Rick McCann. I am the founder and CEO of Private Officer International and Armor College for the last 13 years, at least so they tell me. On payday, they tell me I am. The rest of the time, I'm just here to clean the restrooms and take out the trash. Unless it's payday, and then I'm the boss. Hey, this week we're traveling. We're on the road through Ohio and Michigan, and we're going to be heading up to Connecticut, Vermont, Maine, Wisconsin, and who knows where else over the next few months. During this time of year, I spend a lot of my time training, a lot of my time on the road doing different seminars and training events, and we do a lot of remote shows, but that's part of what I love about what I do. So you might be listening to us next week from, you know, the West Coast or from Alaska or, well, maybe even some other country. And that's just the great thing about what we do. We're very excited for all the things that's happening here at Private Officer International and Armor College. And we want you to be excited as well, as we are really escalating. We're really exploding into a lot of new areas. We're going to be developing several new, I don't want to let the cat out of the bag, but several new services that just are going to blow your mind. We here at Private Officer this morning, we've noticed a lot of trending going on over the last few months about security officers pursuing shoplifters, trespassers, getting involved in foot chases, car chases. So later on in this episode, we are going to review pursuit policy. And that's really part of our officer safety program that we have here at privateofficer.com. We're coming up in just a couple of months on our annual Private Officer Memorial Week, the third week of September. Every single year, we sponsor that. And so what we try to do every year, at least 60 days before that event, is we try to do some officer safety training. So the last couple of weeks, we've talked about approaching vehicles. We've talked about scene size up and situational awareness. We've talked about how to be alert when we're on patrol, when we're on duty. And so today we're going to follow that up with really a very in-depth foot and vehicle pursuit policy and training. Now you might say, yeah, well, we don't do that here. You don't think you do that there. And maybe it's against your policy to do any type of pursuits, but you'd be surprised or amazed. We're never really surprised or amazed here at the office because we've seen so much, but we really want to make sure that regardless of what your policy and procedures are where you work, that you understand the clear decisiveness that you need to take before taking these type of actions, and that you are well aware of the risk factor involved in any type of pursuit. But we're going to get into that here in just a little while. We're going to talk about the news, some of the headlines I saw in the news wire this morning. Armored car security officers in Memphis, Tennessee were involved in a shootout or shooting of some armed robbery suspects who grabbed some cash. I did see several different news media outlets reporting that the men were armed or unarmed. Some are reporting that up to $70,000 was taken in front of a Walmart. But we're going to look into that a little bit and bring you the latest here coming up in just a few moments. We're going to talk about some other news headlines as well. It's happening here locally as well as around the world. I know that we've mentioned, maybe a time or two or three that we do have a full-time news department, and we're monitoring thousands of news sites. We have news wire sent to us directly. We have news feeds. We have press releases and so on and so forth. So we are monitoring the news not only here in the U.S., but around the world. We just picked up on a security officer killed this morning overnight in India. Security officer killed in Pakistan during a high-rise fire. And we have members from many countries, so we want to stay on top of the news locally here in our country as well as around the world as much as we can. So we are pretty much a full-service news department here at Private Officer International, which really is a very, very, very unique thing. Most associations, most organizations that have membership or anything of that nature, they do put out some news headlines that comes from other sources, but we not only collect and dispatch the news, but we write our own news. We have our own news sources. We have several correspondents across the country. If you're interested in being a correspondent or being one of our news hounds, as we like to call them, and you want to send us information that's happening in your area or photos or video, send us an email at helpdesk@privateofficer.com, helpdesk@privateofficer.com, so that we can get you signed up to be one of our correspondents, one of our news hounds. It's very important that we have people just like you across the country and around the world. So you don't have to be here in the U.S. If you're listening to us right now from Rio de Janeiro, if you're listening to us right now from Japan or Canada or any place in the UK or wherever it might be, down under, we've got a lot of friends down under in Australia, but if you're listening to our radio program and you want to be a correspondent, just send us an email to helpdesk@privateofficer.com and we will get in touch with you and get that process rolling. We'd love to have you on board as part of our news hound team. We can't really be everywhere. We can't see everything, even though we monitor so many different news sites. It's really important to have a network of people just like you. So please do send us that email at helpdesk@privateofficer.com. We are really excited, as you can tell. It may have even sound like, it might even appear to be, that I've had too much caffeine, already this morning. And the fact is, I probably have, and I'm going to have a whole lot more before the day is over, because my days start early, 3 o'clock, 4 o'clock in the morning, and usually go until, around midnight at least. So We're very excited here at Private Officer International and Armor College about all of the great things that we're going to be bringing here in the next few months. We're really looking forward to getting out there and meeting some of you, doing a lot of great training. We just had an email. I want to bring that up real quick here and see what we can do to help this gentleman here. If you are looking for any type of Taser OC, any type of less lethal training, we do that online and we do the skill based on the road. So all that you have to do is contact us at helpdesk@privateofficer.com and we can set that up for you. Now, somebody called yesterday and they wanted to put one person in class about 600 miles away from wherever we have an instructor located. We just can't do that. It's just not feasible. It's not cost effective. So we're glad to travel to any parts of the world and do a class for you, but we want to make sure that, you know, we can cover our expenses and that we're not going to be paying out of pocket. But we do travel any place, and for this gentleman who just emailed in, we're definitely going to be getting back to him, and we'll see if we can't hook him up with a local instructor. If you are an instructor of any less lethal weapon, or you're a general instructor, or you're a state certified instructor where you're at, you're a security instructor, first aid instructor, American Red Cross instructor, whatever it might be, if you're an instructor of any type and you'd be interested in becoming part of our partnership, our programs that we offer to teach folks around the country, again, just send us an email at thehelpdesk@privateofficer.com, helpdesk@privateofficer.com, and we'll be glad to get together with you and talk a little bit further about how our programs work. We have some news headlines that we want to touch on here in just a moment. We're not going to cover a whole lot of news because we do have a lot of the training segment about pursuit policy that we want to get into. But we will touch a little bit on the news headlines. We'll look at what's happening, what's breaking, what's popping, as they say, what's going on here across the country and around the world, coming up in just a few moments, and see what else is happening here. But we want you to know that if you listen to us, whether you're here in the U.S. or around the world, we're all about helping our members, helping others in the industry, whether you're private security or loss prevention, mall security. It doesn't really matter what position, public safety or even a law enforcement officer. We have members across the spectrum who come from all aspects of private and public security and law enforcement. We are going to take a quick break coming up here in just a moment. When we get back, we're going to cover those news headlines, and then we're going to be talking about foot and vehicle pursuits, officer safety aspects, and really the do's and don'ts when we're talking about chasing people.
It's a very simple thing. It only takes 2 seconds. We all know we should do it. We all say we do it. But do we? About 35,000 people were killed in motor vehicle accidents last year. More than half were not wearing a seatbelt. A brother, a father, a mother, a best friend. Is it worth it? I lost a sister. Don't let it happen to you and your family.
Doesn't know the real story about that dent in the van.
I've never told her that I used to be a lifeguard at a nude beach.
I've never told my kids about the time I was arrested for streaking.
My friends don't know that I still sleep with my teddy bear.
But they all do know one thing about me.
And that I'm an organ donor.
I'm an organ donor.
And that's one thing that's too important to keep a secret. Because I could save somebody's life. How cool is that?
All right, so welcome back from the other side of that PSA, that public service announcement here this morning. We're glad that you have joined us on the Private Officer Beat radio show as we are traveling and will be for, oh gosh, the next couple of millenniums, the next couple of months. During the summer, we travel a lot, but we're going to talk a little bit about the news headlines. We want to go over the news wire for a moment, but before we do that, I do want to give you a heads up on a couple of brand new books coming out. We've got a brand new book coming out early fall. We hope to get that out early September, or definitely within that early fall time frame. This is called Church Security Team Policies and Procedures, and this is really a workbook or training book, if you will. It is really designed for those security teams, whether they be newly initiated or an established security team at your local church. This really has the guidelines as to how to respond to many different types of crimes and activities and situations that you'll have on a church property. And we've actually put this together with policies in the front. And these are really written so that you can apply them to your current policies, or kind of use them as a template, or even use them to start your own security team. And then we have A through Z, basically, you know, how to respond to an assault, what to do in a medical emergency. These are step-by-step guides, as well as directives, and it helps really to train. And like I said, a lot of security teams do already have some type of training in place, but this is really the nuts and bolts, and it's put into word form. And I think it's going to be a great book. We're often asked for something like this as we travel, as we do church security team training across the country. And so we have put this together, and hopefully by early fall it will be available. If you want to get an early copy, if you want to get a couple of copies for your church, send us an email at thehelpdesk@privateofficer.com. Helpdesk@privateofficer.com. The second book, I'm really excited about that. We hope to get that out early 2017, somewheres right after the holidays. This is a sponsored book. It's something that we've been working on for quite some time, and it's called Private Security Front and Center. This book will be available at some of the major bookstores, as well as Walmart and Amazon, of course, and a number of other locations. Private Security Front and Center, this really showcases the evolution of private security from the early 1900s all the way up to where we're at today. I talk in the book about one of my first jobs in private security. Our office, if you want to call it an office, was actually in the dungeon of this industrial plant. Out in one of the parking lots, we had a gatehouse at an access point, but our official private security office was actually in the sub-basement of this old industrial building. They didn't even put us, forget about putting us, you know, in the penthouse, forget about putting us on the first floor. They put us not in the basement, but in the sub-basement. Whenever we went in to go to the office, we would get into this old rickety elevator, and you would push the B2 button. So you weren't going to the basement. You were going below the basement. That's how far under the building they put us. That's what they thought about us at that time. Those were the days. I could tell you some stories about that dungeon, you know, the rats, literally, and just it was a dirty, nasty place. But Security has come a long way. The security responsibilities and duties continue to expand, as we often point that out. And so this book, Private Security Front and Center, it really shows where we kind of started in the contract security world with Pinkerton and companies like that, and where we are today. A lot of the public just don't really get it. They don't see it. They don't know it. They just think every security guard is a guard is a guard. And even the media and law enforcement and others, they just think they lump security all together. And so this book really kind of spells it all out. It really talks about the variety of positions, duties. You know, we interview security officers who work at power plants, nuclear sites. They talk about having to train semi-annually, every 6 months, with automatic weapons, with their sidearms. They talk about bombs. They work with bomb-sniffing dogs. Just a lot of intense training happening in some areas of private security. We also talk about how over the years, the average security officer, in fact, a recent survey done by a company spelled this out clearly. The average security officer today has some college. In fact, we're seeing more and more people entering the private security industry rather than going into law enforcement, because there is more money to be made. Those folks who have those credentials, those folks who have that background, people leaving the military, people retiring from law enforcement, they understand the potential, not for ground level security officer entry level job, certainly not, that's still very low paying, but for those upper and middle management people. There was an article that came out just this week talking about how many entertainment venues, shopping malls, theme parks have highly skilled, educated, and trained security staff, directors, managers, people from the CIA, the FBI, the Secret Service, and all those other three-letter alphabet companies, agencies. It's just amazing, really, what is happening outside of the view of the majority of the public. And so the book Front and Center, Private Security Front and Center, will really focus in on what the security industry has become. So we're really excited about that. So be looking for that book right after the holidays. And I think that it's going to be, I hope, a bestseller, but I definitely think it'll be very informative and eye-opening for many, many people. All right, we're going to talk a few minutes about what's happening in the news, and then I want to get over to our training segment as we are talking today about pursuits, foot pursuits, chases. You might say, we don't really do that. Well, you do, whether you want to acknowledge it or not. But many security officers chase shoplifters, they chase trespassers, they even get into vehicle pursuits. And as more and more private security personnel are allowed to conduct traffic stops on private property, more private security have some law enforcement authority. Like we often mention South Carolina, every security officer on private property has the same authority as a deputy sheriff, the same arrest authority, the same authority to stop a vehicle. And so with that, you know, advanced level of responsibility, obviously there's a need for advanced level of training. So we're going to talk about pursuits and procedures and how we need to put some policies into place coming up in just a few moments. Okay, news headlines. Very quickly, I'm sure by now you all are aware that there's been a very tragic bombing at the Istanbul, Turkey airport. This was a suicide bomb several suicide bombers blew themselves up. They killed between 40 and 50 others, injuring dozens of other people. And this is very tragic, but it's something that we're seeing and we're going to see more frequently, unfortunately. And this is an example, folks. This is a perfect example. When you're in that TSA line, when you're waiting to go through the security check process, when you're complaining about how long it's taking, about how they're checking every detail, they're looking in every crevice and corner of every suitcase, every person's luggage that they're bringing on board, I have to tell you, I've never complained about that. I don't fly as frequently as others, but even if I did, I would go 3 hours, 5 hours, 8 hours early if I had to. And thank God that TSA and those dedicated security screeners are doing their job, that they are truly concerned about the safety of those people that come through the airport every single day. The U.S. security at the airports really isn't even as tight as it should be. There are a lot of areas of the airport that you can enter without going through any metal detector, without going through any security screening. In fact, that's how some people have been involved in shootings at airports. I think that the minute that you step onto airport property, the minute that you step into any terminal, that should be the point of screening. Everybody should go through a metal detector. I am an advocate to have metal detectors at every school entrance, shopping malls, any place that's a major venue, a entertainment venue, and that everyone should go through really scrutinized screening to ensure that we have nobody armed, nobody carrying bombs. I mean, I can go on and on for hours, but I think the TSA overall does an excellent job. Is there room for improvement? Of course there is. But when we look at what's happening at other countries, when we look at other airports, we look at other tragedies, we realize that, after 9/11 here in the U.S., we have tightened some security procedures. We have try to do our due diligence in protecting our government buildings, our airports, and the citizens and public safety at large overall. So don't complain. It's really for a purpose. Okay, news headlines. Besides that, Charlotte Douglas Airport, our home airport, has recently deployed bomb-sniffing dogs. We're seeing this more and more. And how timely could this be? We're seeing more and more TSA bomb-sniffing dogs deployed. This does cut down on how long it takes to go through the security checkpoints. If the dog hits on someone, obviously they're put off to the side for a secondary search. But it's an excellent tool to have in your toolbox at the airport. And so Charlotte Douglas is the fifth busiest airport in the world. Very large, and they're actually undergoing a multi-million, billion, trillion, billion, whatever, renovation and expansion project right now. It seems like every year they're undergoing expansion. TSA says they have about 250 dogs currently deployed in various airports, and they have another 50 dogs coming up online here soon. And, again, it's just a good thing to have. Also in the news, police have arrested in Hot Springs, Arkansas, a teacher and her husband for threatening to kill a private security officer and firing shots at an adult entertainment club in Hot Springs, Arkansas. Nicole Watt and her husband, Paul Watt, have been both charged with multiple offenses in that situation. And private security, as we know, this is just, you know, another example, private security really on the front line and facing those dangers every single day. Also from Staten Island, New York, this is something that security deals with on a more frequent basis than most people realize. A person at the Staten Island Mall jumped from the second level in an attempt to commit suicide. They were injured. I'm not sure if they lost their life or not, but security responded. Law enforcement, fire, and medical responded. But security officers do face this regularly. They find suicide victims, they respond to suicide threats, and they're really involved in this activity, this incident situation, more than most people realize. And so, you know, again, this is another area of training that private security officers need, because you have to understand what to say, what not to say, how to handle it. You might think, well, I'm just going to back off and call 911. That's fine. That is one of the things that you want to do. But if you get involved in talking with the person, if you try to talk them down, you need to have some training and some skills. So, again, just another area. In Washington, D.C., a commander, a Navy commander, was charged over the weekend with assaulting security at a nightclub. But for whatever reason, the U.S. Attorney's Office for the District of Columbia did not go forward with those charges. And now there is some issues with that. Both the nightclub and security staff have filed a complaint. So we're going to follow that one to see what happens. You know, just because you're a Navy commander or a military person, if you're involved in a crime, you can still be punished. I understand, having been in the military, that this situation is also being handled by the military. I mean, he's going to face some charges in the military for his actions, and he could be demoted, he could be fined, he could lose rank, so forth. But this was also a civilian criminal offense, and it should have been prosecuted. In St. Louis, Missouri, you know, if you're on our news list, you probably got the update, the news alert that showed a St. Louis security officer beat down, basically, where a female who was at the Metrolink, which is their commuter bus and train in the St. Louis County region area, was being asked to provide proof that she had a ticket, I guess, to be on the Metrolink, and a fight ensued, and basically the female security officer was beat up pretty bad while most people stood around. There is some video online, and we also sent out a news alert, so check that out. One of the things that I have to say about this situation is that the security officer's duties at that particular assignment, Metrolink, is to check for tickets and transfers and paperwork to make sure everyone that's riding the train, the bus, has the proper document to be on that bus or train. In this situation, the security officer was working alone, no backup, no partner, no law enforcement. You know, this is a situation where it was poor scheduling by the contract security company, and they really put her in harm's way by having her do this job alone, because this is a situation where you are going to get some confrontations. And I just think that the security company owns some responsibility in this situation because of their poor choice of having her be out there by herself. That's my opinion, but you know, whenever we're having security personnel interacting with the public and any type of enforcement actions, which this person has some enforcement actions, she could tell the person they can't ride, she could tell the person to get off the property, that's enforcement. And I just think it was a poor choice by her employer. There's a lot of other news headlines, believe it or not, and if you're not already signed up, For our news alerts and our biweekly newsletters, you'll want to do that. Go to privateofficer.com and sign up today. And if you're not a member, we certainly want to make sure that you do become a member. There's a lot of benefits and training and so forth that's happening here at Private Officer. So, again, you can check that out at privateofficer.com. We are rushed for time today because we do have a pretty long training that we want to get in there. So we're going to take one more quick break, public service announcement. And when we come back on the other side, we're going to be talking about pursuit policy, foot pursuits, vehicle pursuits, the do's and don'ts, the liability, the risk, the dangers, and, it's something that we need really to be trained on, and we need to have some policies in place. We'll be right back.
I was just going to the grocery store.
Seatbelt violators, beware.
I forgot to put it on.
If you're pulled over because you've broken the law.
Oh, it's so uncomfortable.
And you're not wearing your seatbelt.
It's broken, but I was going to have it fixed.
No matter what your excuse is, you will get a ticket in addition to the ticket for your original violation.
Click it or ticket, that's pretty easy to remember.
HirePatriots.com is a free website where you can help our active, reserve, veteran military and their families by letting them help you. Do you have a chore that needs doing around your home or yard? Is your company looking for a new hire? Then post your jobs for free at HirePatriots.com. Visit HirePatriots.com and post your jobs today. HirePatriots.com.
Talking about pursuits, and as I said earlier in this broadcast, if your department, if your agency, if your company does not have any type of written policy, if they have nothing down, nothing in black and white that would guide you in this matter, you need to listen very, very close. Talking about foot patrols, vehicle patrols, the in pursuit.
Oh, light him up.
on that Genesee between the businesses.
By foot or vehicle can be exciting. They can be just what you need to get you back in the game. The blood is pumping. The adrenaline is flowing. Everything is charged around you. You are excited, and I will not lie to you tonight. I will not tell you that it's something I've never done. It's something I recommend against. I will not tell you that it's not a rush, because it is. Every officer who's ever been behind the wheel knows the dangers, knows what could happen. Every officer out there in the foot pursuit, especially in the hood, especially in a bad neighborhood, especially chasing at night when you can't see what's around the next corner. Every officer will tell you that despite all of those factors, it is a rush. It is something that cannot be expressed in words. It is something that you'll have to experience at least once in your life, as long as you're in this profession. However, with that said, it is a dangerous aspect of the business. It is a huge liability for those of us in the private sector and those who wear the badge of the law enforcement agency. Pursuits have been questioned for years and years and decades. They have been argued from one side of the country to the next and around the world. They have been almost squashed in some areas because of the dangers. Not only the dangers of the person pursuing, the law officer in the pursuit, but the dangers to the general public in the vicinity of the chase. Most law enforcement agencies now have a clear-cut policy, a clear pursuit policy on the books. You don't chase for this reason, you can chase for that reason. You don't go any further than this, you do for that. It is black and white in most areas. Not every agency, not every department. You get into some small areas, they may not have it so clear. You may get into some other areas that haven't had anything major happen in a pursuit in decades, and they may have a very loosely worded pursuit policy. But for many departments, many law enforcement agencies who are extremely concerned about liability, culpability, responsibility, those three issues that we discussed a while back in our training about the civil aspect of the law, those departments who are concerned about being named in a lawsuit, being named in a civil trial, having to defend their training, having to defend their pursuit policy. Those agencies have all but squashed pursuits. Get a license tag. Get a description. Get it on the radio. Notify the next department over. Notify the county. Get the radio broadcast going. Let the departments in the neighborhood be on the lookout. If they want to pick up the chase, so be it. But the guy only committed a moving violation. If you are a scanner listener, if you are a scanner buff, you will hear many times, 285 in pursuit, 285 in pursuit, L20, what's the suspect wanted for? Lieutenant 285, right now, speed, got him on radar, he's doing 90. Suspect also wanted for failure to comply, failure to obey, and some other violations, moving offenses. If you're listening to the radio in Baltimore County, Maryland, in Rock Hill, South Carolina, Atlanta, Georgia, Fulton County, Georgia, Los Angeles, California, you may hear the supervisor in charge come back and say this: 285, terminate pursuit. 285, terminate pursuit. What? What do you mean? We're going to let the bad guy get away? We're going to let him go about his business? Wait a minute. He's broken the law. I'm the cop. I got to chase after him. Whoa. The lieutenant, you don't understand. The lieutenant is under directive from his boss, the chief, the mayor, the town council, the legal advisors, not to pursue for moving violations. Why? It's too risky. Even though we know, even those of us who have experience in this area, those of us who know better understand that more than likely the suspect is fleeing not because his license is suspended, not because his tag is revoked, not because he's guilty of speeding, going through a red light, turning the corner without stopping. No. We know, evidence proves it, more than likely, the driver is guilty of other more serious offenses. He could have drugs, weapons, outstanding warrants. But believing and knowing is two different things in law enforcement, in civil litigation. Well, Your Honor, I pursued the guy 45 miles across three county lines, eight cities, up and down the roads for 4 hours, 3 hours, because I thought he might be a bank robber. I thought he might be a dope dealer. I thought he was slinging dope in my neighborhood, so I just kept on going as far as I could till he finally crashed and killed two people. I was just doing my job. Knowing something and believing two different things, and so many, many, many departments have increased the threshold of pursuit. They have increased the standards of pursuit, when an officer can pursue, for what offenses, and for how long. There's something in the law enforcement language called the fresh pursuit doctrine. Fresh pursuit is an immediate chase of a suspect by a law enforcement officer in which the officer may arrest the suspect without a warrant. He could chase an escaped felon, a bank robbery suspect, an aggravated assault suspect, or other criminal wanted for serious crimes into another jurisdiction and make the arrest. Even though If he is a police officer in Washington, D.C., he has no legal police authority normally in the state of Virginia or the state of Maryland. Once he crosses over the Potomac River and he's in North Virginia, the Washington, D.C. police officer would normally have no legal authority as a law enforcement officer. However, the Fresh Pursuit Doctrine changes that. It allows the officer to continue the chase across county and state lines in pursuit of the felon, in pursuit of the suspect, and can make a legal arrest without any other agency, without any other police officer there to make the arrest for him or her. The Fresh Pursuit Doctrine, also called Hot Pursuit, you probably have heard that, has become less and less popular than in years past. All because of these high-profile cases where during the pursuits, someone tragically, loses their life. You know, it's one of those extreme downsides in pursuits.
Johnny, Kansas. The phone beeps and rockets down the freeway.
How many times have you heard on the scanner, on the TV news, or seen it live and in person? Cars flying down the interstate, through the city streets during rush hour traffic. Suspects fleeing like bats out of you know where. They don't care what's in front of them. They don't care who's coming through the intersection. They don't care about the little kid trying to cross the street. They only care about themselves, and they're going to get away one way or the other. They don't care who they kill doing it, all because of a petty theft, all because of a moving violation, all because something stupid. In this situation, a 14 or 15-year-old juvenile has stolen a vehicle. 120 miles an hour, he is able to gun it past law enforcement, experienced law enforcement officers, in and out of city traffic, up and down interstate roads, around and around and around and around at high speeds. Had I continued the soundtrack, you would have heard how he almost collided head-on with the officer and another vehicle. The officer would have been killed at that speed, and the suspect probably, too, would have died on the scene. But they don't care about what's going to happen. They just don't want to get caught, regardless of the insevity of the offense or the punishment. They're going to get away. And unfortunately for them, regardless of who they are or where they are, unfortunately for them, we're trained to be the good guy. Whether you're security or law enforcement, it's in the blood to want to chase them. You're not getting away from me. You're not going to go there. You're coming with me. We're going to get you whatever it takes. And it becomes almost like a game. Let's be honest. Catch me if you can. We as protectors of property and life, it's our job to be involved in apprehensions, detentions, and arrests. It's our job to sometimes have to pursue, but to what limits? And in the last few years, as more and more high-speed chases get out of control and catch the public's eye, the media's attention, the courtroom finales, more and more police agencies now are tightening the requirements of pursuit. More and more agencies now require that a supervisor be on the radio instantly when a pursuit is called, and they make the decision, go or stop. Pursue or turn tail and go home. Because things are dangerous out there. You're chasing some wacko who's not going to stop. He's already indicated that by the 2, 3, 10-mile pursuit that you've already had. He's not stopping. Stop sticks aren't working. Pit maneuvers, pursuit intervention techniques, are not working. The car is still rolling. Well, guess what? You got to make a decision to call the pursuit, end it. The guy's wanted for a misdemeanor shoplifting and now some moving violations. You could probably hit him with some felonies for reckless endangerment, so on and so forth. But what started out as something small could eventually cause somebody's life to end. And you know what? Sometimes, you have to think whether or not it's all worth it. Many departments are not asking this question. Does the end justify the means? What if I catch him? What if I put him in jail? What if we got a good case on him, but he kills someone in the pursuit? He runs down a 12-year-old crossing the street. He kills two people coming home from church. Many departments now are looking seriously at whether or not the end justifies the mean, how they got there, how they made the capture. I will tell you, in my own personal view, that it is a sad day for law enforcement. It is a sad day for security, who is hired to protect and serve, when we can't do our job. But I understand why. I do understand why. We can't chase every Tom, Dick, and Harry who shoplifted a pair of sneakers. We can't pursue every person who was trespassing on the property at 2 in the morning. Big deal. Maybe we could get them for burglary. Maybe we could get them for some other charge. But we'll never know because we're not going to chase them. Currently, there are no state statutes that I'm aware of, and I checked the last few days preparing for my radio program. There are no state statutes that prohibit private security from pursuit. As with most things, laws do not prohibit security from handcuffing, from detaining, and there is no state statute that prohibits security from pursuit. However, having said that, let me say this. Pursuits by private personnel will be based on two things, just like in the scope of authority. And those two things will be the law of the land and your company policy. Whatever those two things are in your situation, those will be the governing factors. Those will be your guideline, your Bible, your lead. The law of the land and your employer's policy. If your employer does not have a written policy on pursuit, go to them. Don't be afraid. Say, look, I'm working law prevention here. I'm working mall security. You know, I'm reading a lot about these lawsuits about pursuits and so on and so forth. And I noticed in our policy book, we don't have anything about this. I notice it doesn't say anything about whether or not I should chase them off the property around the corner, 3 blocks or 3 miles, or, you know, can we get something in writing, because I'd like to know what it is I'm supposed to be doing. I'd like to be able to comply with the policy of the company. I'd like to keep the company out of court, and I'll be able to do that if I know what it is you expect of me. But if you don't tell me and I do something the best way I know how, if I do something in the best interest of the company and it all goes south, I mess it up, I screw it up, somebody gets hurt, guess what? I'm sorry. I apologize. But it wasn't in writing. I didn't know I wasn't supposed to do that. You never told me that. And now you're going to have a he said, she said battle. Because the company is always going to say, I told them, we trained them different, but they didn't listen. If anything ever happens, there's ever a liability, a litigation situation, the company is always going to blame you. They're always going to say, you did it wrong. You didn't listen. You didn't follow procedure. So that's why I always tell people, get it in writing. Well, my boss ain't going to put it in writing. My boss won't put it together policy. We don't even have a manual. We don't have a handbook. The easy solution is email him. Write him a letter. Keep a copy. That is verification. That is legal documentation that you tried to get a clear-cut policy, that you weren't disobeying the policy, the procedure, the rule of the land. You were trying to get precise direction. Nobody would cooperate. As a rule of thumb, as a guideline, things have changed in the private entities, the private businesses around the country and possibly around the globe in the last 5 or 10 years. When I worked law prevention, we did chase people blocks and blocks and over fences and around corners. Working in security, I've done pursuits of people. Never in a vehicle, because I knew better. But those days are over because people are civil litigation, money conscious. They understand that we live in a litigious time, day and time. People can sue you now at the snap of a finger, whether you've done something wrong or not. And as we discussed previously, businesses will settle out of court for thousands and thousands and thousands because they know that trying to battle it is going to cost them even more. They will quickly terminate you and settle any lawsuit and move on like it never happened. If you want to join in on the conversation right now, tell me if you've ever been involved in a pursuit. Be honest. Foot pursuit or a vehicle pursuit. You can join us right now in the chat room, or you can send me an email at radio@privateofficer.com. We will not identify you. So I'd just like to know if you've ever involved yourself in a foot pursuit or a vehicle pursuit, and for what reason. The rule of thumb and the guideline and the policy and the procedure for most companies these days is this. Most pursuits, and I'm generally talking about foot pursuits because very few, if any, company allows vehicle pursuit, but most pursuits stop at the end of the property line or at the threshold of the door. Most pursuits stop at the end of the property line or at the threshold of the door. If you have a shoplifter, you have a theft case, the suspect is fighting you, he takes off. Most companies do not want you to chase them off the property. And there's a couple of reasons, obvious reasons for that. Number one, your own personal safety. Most loss prevention agents and security officers work alone. Yeah, it's great to know that the assistant managers, the department managers are going to be there to back us up when we have a shoplifting stop, or so they say in the management meetings. But in the reality, in the real world, they're not. You know it, and I know it. Most of the time, we've got a chase going, nobody's behind us. And if they are, they're way, way behind us. So for your own personal safety, most companies do not want you to chase off the property. Around the corner, down the blocks, over the fences, and through the woods is not safe for you. No matter how big, bad, and tough you think you are, I just told you of two incidents that have happened this week where men, shoplifters, bad check writers have pulled guns and even in one case had explosives. This is not the 50s, 60s, or 70s. People today are violent. They are determined to get away at all costs, even if it means ending your life. So, most companies limit the pursuit to the property line or the threshold of the door. What does that mean? There are companies, major companies, who will not allow you to chase anyone past the door to the business. They don't want you leaving the interior of the business. Yeah, but he just stole. He just assaulted. We understand that. But sometimes, it's just not worth it. What if you chased, let's say, a shoplifting suspect, and then here's a case, a real live case, a real situation that happened this year. A loss prevention agent chases a suspect through the parking lot for stealing DVDs. The suspect crosses a busy intersection and is hit by not one, but two vehicles. Critically injured, he survived, sort of. He's a paraplegic. As we taught you in the law, in the civil law training, you instantly are culpable in this case, in this matter. What does that mean? Let me remind you. You are culpable, responsible, because had you not been chasing, he would not probably have been hit by the vehicles. He would not have been running. He would not have been trying to get away. Yeah, but if he had not shoplifted, you might say. Yes, I understand that thinking. But the court says, for this situation, no pursuit was necessary. Let the police handle it once the person's on the road. Unfortunately, in this situation, the store had to pay. Had to pay big. In another case, I just told you, in Nashville, Tennessee, Tootsie's Orchard Lounge, security saw a person who was being disorderly, tried to escort him out of the building. According to security, the man spit in his face. But according to Phil Williams, the investigative reporter for News Channel 5, video showed otherwise. There had been no assault, no spitting. The man tried to leave on his own, but was chased down by three bouncer security persons, assaulted. Buford Toon, a 30-year Metro Police officer and security trainer for the state of Tennessee, a expert witness in the courts, someone who has a resume thicker than the dictionary, was asked what he thought about this situation, and he said something that I concur. Unless you're in imminent danger, unless there is a serious felony involved, the man just raped someone, an armed robbery just occurred, he just shot someone, and you feel that you need to pursue and detain for the public safety, unless that's the situation, stop at the door. Stop at the threshold of the door, the property line. There's no reason to chase, because as you chase the person, as the adrenaline is flowing, as the blood is pumping, guess what else is happening? You're getting angry. You're getting mad. Damn it, I'm not going to let this guy get away. I'm not going to let him get away from me now. He's done this. He's done that. I'm going to get him. And now you're angry. And what happens to a lot of police officers involved in foot chases and vehicle pursuits that unfortunately later gets captured on video, in-car video, or media video, they take their frustration, their anger out on the suspect once they get him. Good job, kid. Stop resisting, stop resisting. He's not resisting. But you're angry, you're upset because the pursuit endangered your life.
Oh, help me, oh, they'll kill me.
You're letting something simple as some guy in a bar acting stupid because he's been drinking take control of your faculties, take control of your emotions, take control of your feelings. You allow him to get you involved in a foot pursuit over nothing that later could turn into something bad for you. He gets hit by a car, or you get on him and you pound him into the ground, which happens all the time. Now you're facing serious felony charges, For what? Because some guy was stupid and drunk in a bar? Unless the suspect has committed a serious offense, shot someone, he is an imminent danger to the public. He is someone who needs to be quickly apprehended. Let him go. Let him run as fast as he can. Let him go wherever he wants, calling you whatever name he feels like it, because it's not worth it. He'll be back. And when he does, then you lock him up for trespassing. Then you get him for disorderly conduct. Then you charge him. Get the police involved. The end doesn't always justify the means. And if you take the law into your own hands, now you're the criminal. And he's the good guy. In Great Falls, Montana, July this year, Jeremy Young, who was a loss prevention agent for Walmart, thought he was just doing his job. He chased a man who had been involved in a shoplifting. The man ran down an elderly greeter on his way out, injuring the elderly man. Jeremy Young, the loss prevention agent, continued the pursuit and was fired later on by Walmart. Even though Bruce Lee Hull was charged with robbery in the whole incident, you don't understand. It's not worth it. The man had stole two shirts, but in the catastrophe afterwards, in the pursuit, another elderly employee, and it very well could have been a customer, was injured. Walmart has a zero pursuit policy. That's something that has been in place for a while now. Another incident in Detroit, Michigan, just last month, the court awarded $2.1 million settlement to the daughters of a man who was killed by a store security officer after he shoplifted less than $5 worth of merchandise. They pursued the man through the parking lot, down the road. They finally tackled the man. They put him in a chokehold.
I can't breathe. I help.
The coroner said he died from prolonged strangulation. The store and the security people involved, guilty. Guilty. In Mountville, New Jersey, in September, a pair of overzealous mall security officers, according to the media and police. Police are saying that these mall security officers went above and beyond the normal. They chased a car full of suspected shoplifters. Listen to this. Through four towns, blowing through red lights, going down one-way roads, through stop signs, because they had stolen some clothing items, the security SUV storming, screaming through the town with emergency lights flashing in hot pursuit of the suspects, could have easily collided with people driving on that day in those small towns. could have easily ran over someone walking across the street. Could have easily killed some people, if not themselves. In New Jersey, private security officers have no police powers. They now face criminal charges themselves. According to Detective Captain Jim Clark, a 29-year veteran of the Wayne Police Department, he said he deals with shoplifting and theft offenses every day at the mall. He has never seen anything like this in his career. Mall security usually do not leave the property to pursue suspects. They cooperate with law enforcement and usually police make the arrest. What could have happened? My goodness, think about it. 3-4 town pursuit down the roads, around the corners, through the red lights, the stop signs. No lights, no siren, no police authority. Why? The blood was flowing, the adrenaline was pumping, and all the while, I'm sure they were saying, I'm going to get you. You're not going to get away. Security guards Fabian Serrano and Daniel Lane were arrested. People, sometimes things happen in a split second, and you've got to make decisions. Making the call, another great training that we did not too long ago. It's not easy to make the right decision sometimes. It's not easy to know exactly what you should do or how you should do it or when you should do it, especially when you're trying to do your best. I believe these men were trying to do their best. I believe they were trying to do their job. I believe that they had all good intentions. But sometimes good intentions will get you in trouble. Sometimes good intentions turn sour when you don't use good common sense. Trumbull, Connecticut, April 23rd, 2010. Trumbull, Connecticut, just outside of a major city, Bridgeport, Connecticut. One person was arrested after a jewelry heist at a crowded mall in Trumbull. A mall security officer observed the robbery in progress and notified police after the men smashed a glass display cabinet, stole dozens of pieces of jewelry, more than $450,000 in merchandise was taken. Mall security followed the suspects into nearby Bridgeport. Didn't pursue them. Didn't chase them. Didn't try to capture them. They followed. They observed, while keeping police informed on their cell phone, where the men jumped out of the car. Police quickly arrived, and with the assistance and the information provided by mall security, Larry Johnson, 31, of Brooklyn, New York, was captured for robbery, being held on $1 million bond. There's a difference between pursuit and following. A difference between chasing, actively pursuing, and trying to get information, relaying it to police. Legally and technically, once they leave the property, it's over. You got no authority. You're just another common citizen. You are no longer the authority. You are no longer the protector. The rule of thumb is easy. I'm giving it to you straight tonight because I want to keep you out of jail. I want to keep you out of the civil court. Here's the rule of thumb. Minor crime like shoplifting, trespassing, disorderly, intoxicating. In your state, if you are not a special police officer commissioned, if you're not in Virginia, Pennsylvania, some of the other states, South Carolina, if you are not commissioned and you don't have special police powers, let them go. Once they're off the property, it's over. Even if they're armed and they're off the property, you're no longer considered to be in imminent danger. Notify police. Do not pursue. A security officer, someone that I knew, and this kind of upsets me every time I think about it, every time I have to talk about it. Birmingham, Alabama, a number of years ago. Right across the street from one of the contracts that I had, my company had, my business had, was another Section 8 housing complex. I knew those security people. I knew the security company over there. We worked pretty well together. And this night, one of the security officers was on duty alone. It was supposed to be a three-man shift. Two people didn't show up or whatever happened. He was alone. A car came through, a drive-by shooting. They fired multiple rounds at him. He ducked down behind a vehicle, pulled out his weapon, returned the fire. And for whatever reason, he began foot pursuit of the suspect's vehicle, shooting. They got into the main road, and he continued down the sidewalk after him, shooting. Bam, 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 bam. And he killed a passenger in the vehicle and was charged with murder and is in prison today. He was not a murdering type. He was not someone that would ever harm another. I know that in the moment, in the heat of the battle, in the whole scheme of things, he thought he was doing the right thing. But you see, once the vehicle left the property, once the shooting stopped from the vehicle, he was no longer in imminent danger. No way to justify that shooting. Now, some counties, some cities, and even some states are more lax with their laws, and they might let you slide. Some counties may respect you like law enforcement, and they may feel that you were doing your job at the moment, and they may let you slide. The grand jury may not indict you for murder, but in many jurisdictions, they will, because you were no longer in danger. A shooting occurs, a drive-by, something major happens. Once they're out of your property, once they're down the road, as long as they're not shooting at you, it's over. It's over. Another situation not too long ago. Again, another company I know, I respect, I understand and identify with. They were called. One of their patrol officers was called to a shopping center. Suspicious person, someone loitering. Security tried to question the person. The person hopped into a vehicle, took off, security in hot pursuit. Somebody was injured in a car accident because of it. Security officer was charged, arrested, is in prison today. He was only trying to do his job, but once the suspect, once the trespasser, once the suspicious person left the property, that's it. Case closed. It's over. Call police. Give them the description of the vehicle. Give them a tag number and leave it there. The liability and the culpability involved for private security pursuing off the property is huge. And the probability of you being injured is just as huge because most security officers work alone. I know that you're trying to do the good job. I know that you're trying to do your best with little training. I understand that you have good intentions. But sometimes, the end does not justify the means. Just because you got him in custody, just because you made the arrest, just because the man's going to jail for whatever he did doesn't justify that somebody's been hurt, somebody's been killed, or you yourself was seriously injured. The end doesn't always justify the means. Again, I recommend that if you do not have a pursuit policy in your agency, your department, your security company, your client, sit down. Take the training that I've given you tonight and write down some clear-cut policies. It's very easy. Do not pursue past the property line for minor crimes. Do not pursue when you are not chasing a felon. Do not pursue when the person is not guilty of a robbery, a shooting, a rape, a mugging. And when you do pursue, use the utmost extreme caution, both for personal safety and for those who might be around you that might get caught up in the middle of the pursuit. Limit the distance of the pursuit. Don't be chasing the guy in your vehicle blocks and miles and towns, six towns over, 35 miles, and 2 hours later the police finally catch up to you. No. No matter what he did, no matter what they're guilty of, the end will not justify the mean. And you will more than likely face criminal charges yourself. Limit the distance, and I'm talking tonight, today, about foot pursuit only. I do not recommend vehicle pursuit for you under any circumstance. You are not trained. You do not have the experience. Yeah, but I was a cop for 20. I don't care. We're talking about security today. You're a security officer. There are a few exceptions to the vehicle pursuit rule, and that is if you are a special police officer, a commissioned officer, the state has given you some type of law enforcement authority. Well, yeah, I am. I'm a cop. No, you're a cop on that property. You have police authority on that property. Yeah, but I got hot pursuit. I'm under that doctrine. Even so, that's a lot of liabilities to take on. Write a pursuit policy. Limit your distance. Limit the expectations of capture. Don't expect that you're going to get everybody that you chase because you're not. You're not going to get every bad guy out there. It doesn't happen that way. Not in the movies, not in real life. In your policy, you need to define the reasons you can pursue. It must be extreme cases only, and only for a limited distance. Talk about it. Write it down. look up some case law. And as always, use the utmost, most extreme common sense. Do your due diligence. Think about what it is that's involved here if things go wrong. And they do. Unfortunately, they do go wrong.
All right. Well, that's going to do us for this edition of A Private Officer Beat. We hope that you've enjoyed this very lengthy training on pursuits, and maybe it will cause you to, if you don't already have a policy, make sure that one is put in place. The rest of the week is going to be busy for us, and we hope that you have a great one as well. We'll be back with the LP Zone tomorrow, and then this week on Sunday, we have our legal edition, and of course, join us next week for the Private Officer Beat. In the meantime, be sure to check out privateofficer.com. Check out our website on a regular basis because we're always updating and there's always a lot happening. Be sure to check out armorcollege.org for all of your online, on-site, and on-campus trainings. And of course, we want to thank our sponsors, 1-800-TimeClocks.com, as well as Body Armor USA. They're great sponsors. And if you'd like to be a sponsor, contact us at the helpdesk at privateofficer.com. All right, well, that's all. We got to get out of here. Time is up. We are heading out the door. A lot of things happening, very busy for us. Be safe, be blessed, and we'll see you back here on the radio.